Christ is talking to his disciples, the followers, and he's speaking to us today because the mission isn't complete. Millions and millions of believers have passed on, but Christ has not returned yet. We talked about a couple of weeks back that the hour of Christ's return is not known, only by the Father. Whoever gets up here every week, we try to gracefully, gently encourage you guys to live out your faith. Because it isn't just about church on a Sunday morning is not a country club. You can come here and feel good, meet people that you don't see all week. That's all well and good, but that's not the purpose of your life entirely. We get together, we sharpen each other, iron sharpens iron. We encourage one another in what's going on. But the rest of the time we're not together, we're at our jobs, we're at our family, we're in our neighborhoods, we're cutting the grass, we're at the store, volunteering somewhere maybe. And Christ has put responsibility on us. As we're talking about the nuggets, if you will, Randy was telling me there's a new NIV, and I guess it's called Bags of Gold instead of Talents. And a talent was about 75, 76 pounds of precious metal. And if you're a believer, you've been entrusted with, a couple of them guys had like 20, 9, 10. I was telling Dave, you know, as far as them nuggets go, I missed a hot mustard at McDonald's. And my little girl, that's probably her favorite food, is nugget, chicken McNuggets. But God has entrusted us with much. I mean, I have a few coins and stuff like that. I couldn't imagine 75 pounds of anything precious that I would be responsible for. But the responsibility goes far beyond that. Far beyond that. We're not talking about things. We're talking about people. In the first week, I talked about when Christ was talking about your house being broken into. Any of you guys were here, I was challenging you guys. I don't think Christ was talking about your DVR and your 60-inch LCD that's got the Bears game on eventually, hopefully. Dub Bears. Who said that? No blaspheming in church, Mark. We'll discuss that afterwards. But we were talking about how Christ was talking about it. If the homeowner was vigilant, he would have been awake, he would have been alert when the thief was coming to steal and kill and destroy. And I believe in a supernatural way that God has positioned us where we live, where we work, and the people around us. Not just believers. It's good to be around believers. But there are people in each one of us, every one of us, could stand up. No laws of probability at all. Every one of us knows somebody that isn't saved. But I want to clarify that, that you're not the one that's going to save them. But you will share, I hope, the love of Christ, His Word, His grace, and His mercy. That helps point them in the right direction. God will work all that stuff out. But we are called and commanded to be obedient and faithful. When we're looking at the Scripture, and you jump down to verse 24. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is what belongs to you. I guarantee every one of us have talents, have gifts, have callings. They may not. Nobody wants to hear my big mouth that loud. You may not be a big mouth. You may not be able to play a guitar. But there's something that you do, and you have the heart that Christ has instilled within you. And that you can use for furthering the kingdom. It may come in a different shape and size that I or that person or that person has. But make no mistake about it. Your gifts are not any less valuable in the kingdom of God than anybody else's gifts. So do not sit there and say, well, I'm not as good as them. I'm not as good as that at that than they are. But God has wired you, gifted you, and shown you mercy and grace. And in some way, shape, or form, I know that each and every one of you can show grace and mercy to someone else. Amen? His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest." The talent was taken from him and given to somebody else. I don't want to get into any condemnation about anything to anyone. My wife and I, we went to see my parents yesterday. And we stopped at my favorite hot dog stand on the planet. And I grabbed a hot dog. I just needed a hot dog. Oh, no. And when we came out, my wife was, Val was nearly crying. She's like, there was this guy that was sitting there. And if you've been around the city and you see guys that are asking for money, there's like an unwritten rule. And I'm sure that's in a lot of big cities. That if you're going to ask for money around that business, you don't harass anybody. Otherwise, that creates problems, and people have a way of taking care of problems that may or may not be legal. But this poor guy, he was asking people, "You got any spare change? You got any spare change?" When I got out of the car, I walked up to him, and he didn't ask me. He just looked at me and smiled. Well, I went inside, I got some Italian ice and my hot dog, which was fantastic. And I get back in the car, and Val's almost crying. She's like, "Man, my heart's broken. We need to pray for this guy. We need to pray with him or something." So I sit there, I'm opening up my hot dog, and I roll down the window. And in my classic Chicago slang, I go, "Hey, you, come here." I go, "What's your name, bro?" And he says, "My name's Patrick." I go, what are you doing over here?" He goes, "I'm hanging out." I go, "What's going on with you, bro?" I says, I'm just chatting with the guy. And he's like, "Well, I have an apartment and stuff like that, but I'm hungry." I said, "Well, here, man, take my food." I gave him the fries. I kept the hot dog. Be honest with you. If I was going to have to give up the hot dog, he was going to have to deal with a bite being out of it. But no, this was a sweet dude who a bunch of people had walked by. Maybe somebody gave him some change. But I just told him, I says, "Patrick, you look like you're in need of something." And I go, "And I not necessarily think it's food." I go, "I come with you with nothing but love from the God that has sent me here to my favorite hot dog stand." I says, "I don't want to judge you. I don't want to tell you anything that you're bad or you're doing anything wrong. I just came here, dude, eat those French fries." I said, "But here's who I am. And if there's something you should ever need, this is where we live. If there's something that ever come in your life and you need something..." And I go on, I'm not even trying to give you a list of what I think it is you need, because I'm not Dr. Gary. I have no PhD. I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV anymore. But it was awesome just to hang with that dude. And he was smiling like crazy, and my wife was like, "That's what needed to happen." And not a whole lot happened there. I didn't get the guy to confess, "Jesus is Lord," and dance around and throw him in the puddle over there and baptize him by the corner of there off of Cicero Avenue. And I'm not saying this, I'm just sharing you guys. It's easy to get involved because there are hurting people all around us. All around us. They want hope. They want hope in their lives. They're clinging to what they think sometimes is money and possession and, "Oh, my car isn't new enough so the neighbors are looking down on me." Or, "Oh my gosh, I'm wearing Walmart clothes and he's wearing whatever it is that costs way too much." But people are looking for hope. And God is in His infinite wisdom, and don't ask me why, He has chosen a lot of us to deliver that message of grace, mercy, hope, and repentance, and forgiveness. Amen? Amen. What are you using with your talents? What are you using your talents for? I'm not judging anybody here, but I am challenging you. Every day we're alive is one day closer to us either dying or Christ coming back. And either way, we're going to have to stand before Him and give Him a reason for everything we did, everything we said, and what we did with that grace and mercy that He imparted to us, which is worth a whole lot more than a 75 pounds of 24 karat gold, believe me. The parables that we're looking at this month, I wrote this here, it says, were told by Jesus to His followers for then and now on what it means to be ready for when He returns and what to do till He gets here. The parable of the nuggets shows us the need and the responsibility we have to use what God has entrusted us for His glory and His kingdom. The talents and abilities that you have, God allows us to use them on our job, to interact with people, to entertain in some way, shape, or form. But first and foremost, they're for God's glory. I can tell you right now, man, I love my brothers I played with this morning, man. I've known a lot of them. Just recently getting to know Dave, and I can tell you it is a pleasure and an honor to worship God because as much of eggheads as we are, we love the Lord, and I can honestly speak for all the guys that were up here this morning. That's the only reason we play. We don't play so you can sit there and say, oh man, great solo, or whatever. We don't need to hear that. What we play for is to encourage you guys, to point you to Him, to sit there. Music is always accompanied in worship. That's the way it's been for eternity in heaven. There's always music. The angels are singing. The believers that have died and passed on are around the throne and singing and praising God. And He loves music. But those gifts that you have are to worship Him. Those gifts that you have are to worship Him. This parable is about two different attitudes toward Christ's return and His kingdom. The first attitude is two of the guys, they invested their talents in serving God wholeheartedly. They took what God gave them and brought back twofold. Amen? The second attitude, the guy had no heart for the work of the kingdom because it was hard work. He had no heart for the work of the kingdom. Instead, he played it safe, protected himself from his hard master. He made excuses for not doing what God clearly called him to do. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew 7, verse 15. Christ is talking here to the guys and he's telling them, he repeats a lot of stuff because, man, how many times do I need from Val say, hey, Gary, will you remember to pick up your socks when you get out of the shower or get ready to go in the shower? You're too late. It says here in verse 15, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons, perform many miracles? And Christ will say, I never knew you. I never knew you. We're not talking religion. We're not talking self-serving. God sees through our motives for everything we do. He sees through our excuses of why we don't show up here, why we don't talk to that person there. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word has no place in our lives. Jump over to Mark chapter 4, please. Verse 21. He said to them, "Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bed, put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand?" That's what God is telling us, guys. We are carriers of the light. God is light. The world was darkness. God entered, broke through the darkness, Christ Himself, to pierce the darkness with the light from His Son, Jesus Christ. And all those who believe in Him are carriers of that light and are meant to share the light, not cover it up under a bowl or a bed. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. The parable of the nuggets. Jump over. I don't think it's up top here, but I wanted to close with this, guys, and just encourage you guys. Colossians 3:17. This sums it up perfectly. If you're wondering who this guy Jesus we're talking about this morning, maybe you've been here for a couple weeks and you're not sure, who this guy Jesus is, grab somebody. Do not leave today without your questions being hopefully answered. Amen? Those of us who are in Christ, though, you have been called, equipped, wired, gifted, however you want to term it, with abilities, techniques, giftings, artistry, whatever the case it may be. But it was given to you for the main purpose it was given to you was to glorify God and to share that love with others. Colossians 3:17 sums it up as this, guys. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, everything you do in word or deed is for God's glory, not yours. We get blessings from that. Granted, like I said earlier, we have abilities that we can use on our job that help. We make money, we can provide for our family. But utmost is to glorify God. When given the opportunity, step out in faith. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in God. And what George prayed earlier when we were in the hallway, those divine appointments. You may only get what I used to call shotgun evangelism time. Only that little burst of time. But you can insert something of encouragement when done in loving grace that will say to them, "Wow, why did you take the time out to tell me that?" And it could just blow them away. There used to be a stat that was like, a few years back, it was like 7.6 times of somebody hearing the gospel on average, they came to the knowledge of Christ or whatever. You know, and I don't buy half that. God's timing is incredible. And when He prepares hearts, He brings them to people. Somebody told you about Jesus. God, in His awesomeness, could tear apart the heavens. And if you've seen the thing back here, that will happen. He could tear apart the heavens and speak to all the lost and say, "Hey, wake up. I am the Lord God that had created you. The only reason you exist is because it's my will. But he doesn't do that. He's done it in the past, and I'm sure he does it every once in a while now. But he has integrated his plan through down through the millennia of using his followers in partaking of the building of the kingdom, in the partaking of sharing the love of Christ with those who desperately, desperately need it. The ship is going down. This world as we know it will not continue forever. There will come a time when Christ says that's enough, and he will pierce the skies, split the Mount of Olives in two, and he will declare his kingdom, and he will put his enemies under his feet. People need hope, and he sent us to give it. If it's given in grace and mercy, you will be received in grace and mercy and love. Amen? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Let's pray. Father, it's awesome to serve you. It's awesome to share your word. It's awesome to share your love. There's just something special about stepping out of what we term as our comfort zone, Father. And we interact with people that were once like us, lost in their sins, lost in the darkness, drowning in a pool of despair. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Light a fire in your people. Light a greater fire in me, Lord, that we will go out in the love and grace, share your love and grace that you have imparted to us. The enemy is ferocious, Lord, roaming around seeking to destroy and kill and steal. But Father, you rule and reign now and forevermore. Satan once wanted and probably still wants your throne, but that will never happen. Never. You are the God Almighty. You are the God in heaven. You are the God of salvation. You are the God of eternity. You are the one true hope, the one living God. In you we put our trust this morning. Thank you. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.